Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread
Jesus,
Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
God bless you, brethren. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you. We've been praying for you. Let's go to the Lord for just a moment. Father, Father, we invite you to take our hearts today. Take our minds today. Write your word upon our minds and hearts, Lord. Prepare us, O Father, to be vessels through whom you can flow to this world in the days ahead, Lord. Grant us repentance from all things that displease you, Lord, from all doctrines that are traditions of men, Lord. Deliver us, O God, with your unleavened bread. Cause us to hear your voice only. You said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And Lord, bring us into agreement with you. We ask your grace in this. And Father, bless this meeting today. Bless your word to go forth and your blessings on your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, we've been studying end time things. Babylon and what's going to happen to America, what's going to happen to the saints, what's going to bring about the great changes that are coming. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about a covert war that's actually going to bring a lot of these things. We don't look on it as that, but it is. Covert war that's being fought against Babylon today. And Babylon, we've seen very clearly, is an end-time entity that's the greatest merchant nation, the greatest military nation of the end times, and trades with all nations and is leading the nations astray. And that's America, folks. Babylon was the great eagle in Ezekiel 17, and America is in our day. God gives us signals and signs of every nation in the Scriptures. And the things that have been are the things that shall be. We can go back and find out the symbols and signs and who America is, and we've been doing that. But I'm going to go on. I'm not going to go back. Anybody that wants to go back and study these things can go to our archives at americaslastdays.com. Well, I talked about a covert war that's being fought against America to weaken her, really ultimately for destruction. And I want to tell you that this is the word of God that we're talking here. God left those signs for us to know who America is in Scriptures. And I don't believe that any of this is left to chance. I want to say to you that the Scriptures points out three major Muslim groups that are given credit for destroying Babylon as a type of the U.S. The Medes, among whom are the modern-day Kurds, are found in eastern Turkey and northeast Iraq and northwest Iran and northeast Syria and Armenia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and surely beyond that, you know. The Scripture tells us in Jeremiah 51 and 11, it says, make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shields. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Why would God want to destroy Babylon? Why would he? I'm sure that a lot of people wonder, why would he want to destroy the United States? Well, he says here, because of the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. A lot of people don't understand nor believe that Babylon conquered God's people, brought them into bondage, caused great suffering, carried them away from their land and into bondage. And folks, the same thing is happening now and has been happening, is that God's people are in bondage to Babylon, spiritually speaking. They're away from their land. They've given up the word of the Lord and turned away from it for some Jesus that does not exist. It's a Jesus of the false Babylon. And not only that, folks, a great persecution is coming against the saints from modern-day Babylon. A great persecution which will cause the Lord to have vengeance of those who destroyed his temple, so to speak. Well, that was the Medes. And the Medes are spread, a great people spread throughout the Middle East. Well, also joined with the Medes is Elam. Elam was the father of the Persians, and they're found in Iran and Afghanistan and probably beyond that too. And they're allied with the Medes to destroy Babylon. For instance, in Isaiah 21, and I'm going to read you just a little bit from Isaiah 21 here. Isaiah 21 is the oracle concerning Babylon, or the burden of the wilderness of the sea, verse 1 says, but it's concerning Babylon. You know, the wilderness of the sea is interesting because we've discovered a lot of the prophecies about Babylon in the Bible fit America better than they did ancient physical Babylon. You know, when you look at Jeremiah 50 and 51, it very well describes the United States. Well, here, the burden of the wilderness of the sea. Can you imagine back in the time of Isaiah when he spoke about a wilderness of the sea and Babylon that was spoken about in Jeremiah 15:51 was compassed about with many waters? Not at all like physical Babylon. The wilderness of the sea. Do you know that America, when Isaiah spoke this, was a wilderness? But not only that, he goes on to say, as whirlwinds in the south sweep through, it cometh from the wilderness, from a terrible land. You know, it's interesting to note that the south of America is famous for the whirlwinds sweeping through. The great hurricanes that come up from the south and sweep through the land. It's interesting that America's famous for that and hardly any other land is. And matter of fact, we just had the most very different storm season than we've ever had. We've gone through the Greek name storms. Never happened before. Never had this many storms. And they went all the way up to the end of the year. Well past hurricane season. And now they're identifying this land with this right now. Verse 2. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous man dealeth treacherously, and the destroyer destroyeth. Go up, O Elam. That's the Iranians. Besiege, O Media. So he's allying the Medes and the Persians here. The bear that in ancient times conquered the eagle. But in modern times, we know that the Medes and the Persians are joining together with a modern bear, which is Russia. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with anguish. Pangs have taken hold on me as the pangs of a woman in travail. Well, that's interesting because we know that the pangs of the woman in travail identifies the time just before the tribulation period, which is where we are now, which is where the Greek name storms just passed through. Isn't interesting? It's identifying a time here. Because the woman in travail brings forth the man-child, which is the first fruits, and also the white horse rider, the man-child ministry, the corporate body of the first fruits. In Revelation chapter 6, it begins the tribulation period. That's where we are now, folks. And ultimately, by the time you get to verse 9, it says, fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the graven images of her gods are broken unto the ground. So we see here that he's giving credit to the Medes and the Persians in the conquering of Babylon. And we can prove it. That is an end time thing besides the verses we just looked at. There is one other large Muslim group, and that is Arabs, that ambushed both the planes and the World Trade Towers, by the way. One other Muslim group is identified in Jeremiah 51 in verse 12 and 13. Let me read that to you. It says, set up a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath purposed and done that which he spake concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, the measure of thy covetousness. Well, Babylon was rebuked for her covetousness in Revelation 18, an end-time nation. This is not just ancient Babylon. They dwellest upon many waters, ancient Babylon. I don't think you could say that about her, physically speaking, but modern-day Babylon, you certainly could. Many waters, a nation that sits in the midst of the seas and many, many waters. But the word ambushes here, prepare the ambushes, is a Hebrew word, Arab. Isn't that interesting? Ambushes, the Arabs. Well, we're finding that that's a good name for them these days, the ones that are at least attacking many portions of the world. The word Arab here means to lurk or to lie in wait for. Ambushes in the Bible are described, matter of fact. There are many ambushes that lead up to a great ambush that's going to take out America, folks. That ambush I'm talking about is when America goes out to, I believe, will be spread thin, both in the Middle East at the time of Armageddon, and also when they go out to defend Taiwan. I believe that a great ambush is going to come against America. Not only the Arabs, but also the Russians and the Chinese are going to attack America. But and ultimately the ten kings themselves will devour America, the harlot, as in Revelation 17 clearly says. But leading up to that time, other ambushes are happening. And we're about to enter into another, I believe, ambush. It's going to bring us to bring us to the tribulation period. So these are ambushing America over and over, and in order to bring the economy down. And I believe we can prove that it is to weaken America for a final ambush by a Russian-led confederacy of nations. At that time, Russia will lead the nations and the ten kings. At that time, right now, America leads the ten kings. But there's going to be a civil war in the midst of this one world order beast, you know? Well, just as the Medo-Persian bear conquered the great eagle of Babylon, so it will be in our day. The ancient bear, which was the Medes and the Persians, is now a major Muslim group. And they're uniting with the modern bear of Russia in order to conquer Babylon as a type of the United States. This is going to perfectly repeat history, because the Bible does say that things have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. God only repeats history. It's a very neat thing to be able to read through the scriptures and see exactly what's going to happen. Well, I want to tell you a revelation I got. I got it back on February the 4th in 1998. I woke up from sound sleep early in the morning, and I found myself staring out through the ceiling of my bedroom into a bright blue sky. And I know it didn't look that way that time of the morning, but that's the way I saw it. I saw a bright blue sky up there. And I saw being written in the sky, kind of like you would maybe a crop duster could write in the sky, or skywriting plane could write in the sky, you know. I saw written in the sky with white, very dense clouds what I first thought was a hammer and a sickle of the old Soviet Union. But the more I looked at it more closely, I saw that the sickle wasn't really a sickle, because there was no handle on it. It was just a crescent. Well, a hammer and a crescent. It still looked like the Soviet Union, except for the handle. The crescent looked a little more like a crescent, though. Well, you know what the crescent symbolizes. It symbolizes the Muslim nations, because many of them, and most of them really actually have the crescent, which they probably don't know it, but it's the crescent of the moon god, on their flags, and many of their symbols. And even in the Bible, they had crescents. You know? So anyway, I saw this hammer and crescent, and the vision came to me twice, immediately, once and then again. Well, you know, Joseph told us that in that the dream is doubled, it means that it's surely going to come to pass. This was a vision, but it still means that it's surely going to come to pass. And I believe it did come to pass. I believe it came to pass back then. The first time that I saw the vision, it was these solid clouds, the symbol of the hammer and the crescent. And the second time, it blinked out, and then it came on a second time, and this time I saw it as if you had taken an eraser and went around and erased little dashes all the way around the thing, you know? In other words, one was solid and one was broken. And I felt the Lord speak to me that it represented a year and a fraction of a year before the Muslims would unite with the Russians, the ancient bear and the modern bear. And that they would unite against the United States. Well, that was on February the 4th, 1998, a year and part of a year. So I knew that something was happening. The Lord was showing me that this was happening. I'm not sure that it was very overt, but I know that it happened. And that this unity happened in time to plan and execute the 9-1-1 attack. On the day of this vision, it was reported on the news that President Yeltsin said that if the United States bombed Iraq for stopping the inspections, it could trigger a world war. Well, he wasn't far from right. The Russians were very angry that they were being ignored. You know, they were losing their superpower status and they were being ignored by America in particular. And I believe that they made plans to soften up America by covertly using militant Islam to war against the economy of America. There were signs of this, this conspiracy. For instance, in the days just prior to 9-1-1, the Russians publicly warned their people in conferences and in newspaper articles, which were sent to me, translated newspaper articles, and I read, and they were warning them to pull their money out of the U.S. stocks because an attack on the U.S. economy was imminent. I saw these warnings at the time. You know, it was very interesting that they knew this was coming, that there was probably some kind of, obviously, from what the Lord was showing me, this was a fulfillment of this conspiracy between the militant Muslims and the Russians. Well, I also discovered that 12 years before 9-1-1, David Taylor was shown in a dream that George Bush Jr. would be president when Russia begins attacking the United States. And he saw that the war would not begin with nuclear missiles, but an attack on the U.S. financial centers. So actually, folks, Russia is attacking the United States and has been attacking the United States. He saw the World Trade Center bombing and that Russia would pay terrorists to create a diversion, covertly using them to bomb America and other countries. Well, you know, back in those days and shortly after those days, the Russians and the Chinese made a security agreement to combat the military superiority of the United States, I quote. They obviously came to realize that they could make war on America covertly through this method without receiving much retribution for it. The Chinese, by the way, they came up with the World Trade Center idea. In fact, they had it in writing years before 9-1-1. A Chinese military manual named Unrestricted Warfare. Notice the name, Unrestricted Warfare, because obviously this was going to cost them nothing, and it was going to restrict them in no way, and they were going to receive no retribution for it. This Chinese military manual called Unrestricted Warfare was translated by the CIA 3 years before 9/11. And I quote part of it. It said, whether it be the intrusions of hackers, a major explosion at the World Trade Center, or a bombing attack by Bin Laden. Bin Laden wasn't much known in those days, you know, not by the average American. All of these greatly exceed the frequency bandwidths understood by the American military, unquote. In other words, they won't know we're hitting them. They won't know that we're behind this. They won't see this as a war being waged on them. So we can see that the Russians and the Chinese together are warring against America. Admiral Thomas Moore, a former Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, said that the unrestricted warfare reveals China's game plan in its coming war with America. And Major General John Singlob, former Chief of Staff, said the 9/11 attacks may just be the beginning, and that many terrorists and nations and groups will try to imitate this operation. And China's war book, Unrestricted Warfare, will be their text, unquote. Well, that's very interesting that leaders in our military understood that China was making war on America, and that they were going to continue this habit. Well, another man, Brian McAdams, who was a former Canadian Foreign Service officer who worked with the FBI, his work with them was in order to identify 3,000, I think, U.S. companies that were fronts for China's Secret Service or have financial links to Al-Qaeda. And there's a reason that we say or here, because they were joined together. This man said, only now are Western intelligence agencies becoming aware of the links that CSIS, which is China's Secret Service, has with drugs, money laundering, and the support it provides for terrorists. We're talking about billions of dollars, unquote. Then there was this senior PLA colonel, Zhu Junping, who defected to the United States in 2000, and he described meetings between Bin Laden and China's Secret Service to discuss their investment plans. So this has been witnessed by people. Our American military knows about it. There's not much they can do about it, but they know about it. Also, Richard Hansen, you remember the spy that was caught spying on the United States? He was spying for the KGB, and he sold the promise, PROMIS software program, which was used by the United States intelligence. He sold it to the Russians, who also sold a copy to Bin Laden, enabling them to secretly move money. One reason they're having so much problem shutting them down is because they're able to move their money around. Well, this secret warfare against the United States is all for the purpose of weakening, ultimately weakening and bringing down the economy and the United States itself. And they're not through with their attacks. We believe that we're on the very verge of another attack. We have on our site, any of you that haven't been to our site, that's americaslastdays.com. On our site is many revelations of people have received in dreams and visions and prophecies concerning another attack on the United States. And that many of these reveal that this next attack is going to cause America to go into a very great war in the Middle East, much worse than Iraq ever thought about being. I'll give you a couple of them here. I'm just going to share them with you. We have many. This one actually is a dream that was given to Corey Caldwell, who is our moderator here. He had this on 2-8 of 06, so it's very recent. He said, I had a dream I had a second dream about three missiles off the coast of New York City. Now, this is interesting because on our site we have the same dream by probably three or four people. Three missiles off the coast of New York City. And it's also interesting that a lady came to us recently, a prophetess, who had seen a vision of submarines being sold by Russia. They were Soviet-era submarines being sold to the militant Muslims. And it was specifically for an attack on the United States. The Muslims made mention in this vision that they were telling the Russians that they would decide the time of this attack. And they were retrofitting these submarines and overhauling these submarines. And even the Russians were going to supply sailors to sail these submarines in this vision. It's very interesting. Well, several of the people that saw these three missiles also saw Russian submarines. The lady that saw this vision, she said that on the side of the conning towers was the symbol of the Soviet Union, the old hammer and sickle. Well, he said in this second dream about the three missiles off the coast of New York City, in the first dream, the missiles passed by the Statue of Liberty and stopped. He just saw them stopped. In this dream, however, I saw the same three missiles, although this time they went through the middle of the statue, close to the heart. The top part of the statue fell into the water, with the head and torch again above water. The feet and legs, however, were standing. They were broken since the missiles flew through the statue. The three missiles, instead of going towards the city, went up into the air towards the sun. It looked like the sun was getting closer to the earth, or the missiles getting closer to the sun. Either way, when the missiles got to a point, to a certain point, to the sun, they fell back down towards America, or the city, I couldn't tell. Well, previous, I think it was three different revelations, people saw the three missiles, but they only saw one of them hit New York City. Okay. After this, I saw missiles being ignited and going all over like a kid lighting a box of fireworks that looked like a multiple missile launcher. Many, many missiles were being fired as if in retaliation for this strike. After the missiles being fired, I saw a camouflaged MiG painted in the colors of desert, different shades of browns, getting hit with the downpour of the missiles. And I believe the MiGs were made by the Russians, and being painted in desert colors sounds like the Middle East. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of my own feelings about this, my interpretations and whatever. The splitting of the statue shows that this revelation is spiritual and not physical, because missiles blow things up, they don't split them in half. This splitting could mean a division in the United States over this attack, because obviously there usually is some division over what to do about a situation like this. It could also mean that a good portion of the nation will end up in the waters of tribulation, because waters can represent tribulation, and that the liberty will be lost, because this is Lady Liberty and she's been thrown into the waters of tribulation. Well, I believe that America will be thrown into waters of great tribulation, folks. And the fact that the missiles approached the sun as the sun approached the earth seems to speak of the impossibility of this attack harming God's people if they abide in the increasing manifestation of the sun on earth. The Lord is coming closer and closer to earth, and he is manifesting himself and his people in greater and greater ways. But as you know, missiles of this kind have no hope of reaching the sun. And so they went up, from his point of view, they went up and they probably arched over and they came right back to earth. And from previous revelations, one missile hit New York City. I am thinking that this is talking about three different attacks, three simultaneous attacks on the, or relatively simultaneous attacks on the United States. The Desert MiG being hit by the missiles that in retaliation sounds like there will be an initial air war against Iran. The reason I say that is because When the Soviet Union fell apart, Iran started looking to Russia for aircraft, and they bought MiGs from them. But also in 1991, in the Gulf War, many Russian-built Iraqi aircraft were sent to Iran by Saddam Hussein to avoid being destroyed by the Americans. Well, the Iranians, who were not really any friend of the Saddams, never gave them back. So they ended up with their squadrons. Iran ended up with, from what I've been able to read, from 30 to 62 MiG-29s. Most people believe the higher number is more correct. There are now three squadrons in the Iranian Air Force of these MiG-29s. The Iran also ended up with 16 to 18 Su-24 Fencers from Saddam. And these are another squadron. I believe that the air war is only a prelude to a much greater war that will spill out all over the Middle East. As we see here, after the missiles or after the attack, however spiritual this might be, I don't know. It may be more spiritual than I'm seeing, but after the attack, probably attack on three different cities would be my guess. And I wouldn't doubt that New York and Washington, D.C. would be a couple of them, but that's just a guess. But anyway, we have on our website quite a few revelations of these attacks. And many of them fit very well together. Anyway, after the attack, many missiles being fired in retaliation, seems certain that this is talking about the United States striking back in the Middle East, and most likely we're talking about Iran there. Well, I believe it's going to start that way, but I also believe that this is going to be a world war, a war that's so frightening that the nations will decide to put together what they've already designed as a new world order, which, as you know, would begin the tribulation period. I think we're very close to this. I think it's very easy for Al-Qaeda to start a war like this because the West is very primed right now to do this. Matter of fact, I was looking at a poll that said 61.5% of Americans say that if America is hit by a nuke, that they should nuke Islamic cities. That's a high percentage of Americans that are ready to strike back, even if they're not exactly sure who to hit. A high percentage. A United Press International article that I have here in Washington on February the 14th, USA Today, CNN Gallup poll says Americans not only think Iran will develop nuclear weapons, but also use them against the United States. The poll said that 8 out of 10 respondents predicted Iran would provide a nuclear weapon to terrorists to attack the United States or Israel. 6 out of 10 respondents said Iran itself would deploy nuclear weapons against the United States. That's a high percentage of people, folks, that believe this and are worried about Iran and probably thinking that they should do something to stop this. Well, the majority of respondents, 55%, also said, on the other hand, that the war in Iraq was a mistake. And of course they believe this because there were no weapons of mass destruction found, and that this was just a ruse to get in there and do different things, but they believe it was a mistake. However, if they had known that there were weapons of mass destruction, they may not be thinking this way. Do you know what? The Mossad and other people have been saying from the beginning that there were weapons of mass destruction and that they were moved to Syria. And I was always curious why the Bush administration wouldn't pick up on some of this intelligence and use it, but every time it came forth, they never used it. And I finally realized why they weren't using it. It's timing. If you give a revelation like this too far ahead of time, people just go back to sleep and they don't worry about it and they don't pay much attention to it. If you release this in a timing right before you need it for public consumption, for public agreement, then you can use it very well. Well, it's very interesting that this stuff is being released right now, right before they're thinking about attacking Iran and possibly Syria. They're going public with this. A WorldNet Daily article says that, this is a February 15th article, Saddam's general weapons of mass destruction in Syria. Well, I'm going to read parts of this to you. It says, last month, Saddam Hussein's number two Air Force officer, Georges Saada, told the New York Sun Iraq's weapons of mass destruction were moved to Syria 6 weeks before the war started. Saada claimed two Iraqi Airways Boeing jets converted to cargo planes moved the weapons in a total of 56 flights. They attracted little attention, he said, because they were thought to be civilian flights, providing relief from Iraq to Syria, which had suffered a flood after a dam collapsed in 2002. So this was Saddam Hussein's number two Air Force officer that is just now coming out with this. Why just now? And he's not alone. Right now, they're priming the public to receive the understanding that Syria is dangerous too. They've got weapons of mass destruction. Okay. Let me read another part of this. It says, a former general and friend of Saddam Hussein, who defected but maintains close contact with Iraq, claims that the regime supported al-Qaeda with intelligence, finances, and munitions, and believes weapons of mass destruction are hidden in Syria. Ali Abraham al-Tikriti, southern regional commander for Saddam Hussein's Fedayeen militia in the late 1980s, spoke with Ryan Morrow of WorldThreats.com. He was known as the Butcher of Basra. Al-Tikriti commanded units that dealt with chemical and biological weapons. He defected shortly before the Gulf War in 1991, but he's just now saying something about it. Sounds kind of fishy, doesn't it? Well, Al-Tikriti dismissed the commonly heard claim that the United States helped bring Saddam to power, calling it absolutely ludicrous. The Ba'athist Revolution, he said, was backed by the Soviet Union because of the shared socialist ideology. I was there helping with the revolution and worked on two occasions with Soviet KGB officials to help train us, much like the United States did with the Taliban during the Soviet campaign in Afghanistan. He said the United States never directly gave us any weapons of mass destruction, but rather ingredients. They were not mixed, and these ingredients could have been easily used for commercial use, but were rather used to build low-life chemical weapons. Says he knows Saddam's weapons are in Syria because of contingency plans established as far as back as the late 1980s, in the event either Damascus or Baghdad were taken over. Quote, not to mention, I have discussed this in depth with various contacts of mine who have confirmed what I already knew, unquote, he said. Saddam, after lying for so many years, knew the United States eventually would come for the weapons, he said, and wanted to maintain legitimacy with the pan-Arab nationalists. Also, he had wanted, since he took power, to embarrass the West. And this was the perfect opportunity to do so, Al-Tikriti said. After Saddam denied he had such weapons, why would he use them or leave them readily available to be found? That would only legitimize President Bush, who he has a personal grudge against. What we are witnessing now, he said, is many who opposed the war to begin with are rallying around Saddam, saying, we overthrew a sovereign leader based on a lie about weapons of mass destruction. This is exactly what Saddam wanted and predicted. Al-Tikriti said he turned against the bath party after his wife stood up to him and questioned his brutal tactics. This really made me think, because no one had ever considered to question the tactics of myself or any others and live to tell about it, he said. This courageous move made me think deep and hard. Altacruti said he still maintains good sources inside and outside of Iraq. He said some of Saddam's key scientists are personal friends of mine, as well as other key leaders in the former Iraqi military. He said, I have helped draw information since my defecting to the United States government voluntarily and with the permission of these contacts. The only difference between many of them and myself is that I had the opportunity to defect and they didn't. So basically, here's a man that's been on the inside, and he says the same thing. They moved him. The same thing the Mossad said, that they moved him to Syria. This is all priming the public for a future attack on Syria and Iran. And I'm going to share one more thing here with you. They are preparing to hit the United States again, folks, and this is the one I believe that's going to bring about the New World Order and the tribulation. And I believe it'll do it very quickly. This is a dream by Randy Thames, and it was he sent it to me in towards the end of 2002. He said, I dreamt I saw a hawk on the back steps of a house. I was in the house. And standing on the back of the hawk was a blackbird. So I'm going to give you some interpretation here. The house is America, which Randy lives in. This hawkish administration and their supporters are warring with the blackbird, who is the Islamic fundamentalist. Randy goes on, he said, it looked as if the blackbird was trying to push the hawk into the ground. The blackbird is seeking to destroy this administration and the American economy, and they're going to try to do it with new strikes very soon. I'm convinced from all the dreams and visions and revelations that I've been receiving for the last 6 months. But it was probably a year ago that I came to this conclusion. I just felt like this is what was going to happen, that an attack would cause another America once again, you know, after Afghanistan and after Iraq, to strike out in the Middle East again. As we know, Jeremiah 25 enumerates the very same nations that we're talking about, and it says that Babylon will conquer these nations. Jeremiah 25 lists all the nations. And Syria and Iran are among them. Well, again, they will seek to destroy the American economy with new strikes, and then I believe a world war will come. You know that every time a new world order has come on the scene, it's come because of a world war. For instance, World War I scared people into creating the League of Nations, which they thought would bring peace among the nations. Okay? A kind of a one-world order that didn't really have a lot of teeth, you know. Well, when World War II came along, they realized the League of Nations wasn't powerful enough to do anything, so after World War II, they created the United Nations. And I believe that history just keeps on repeating, because the Bible says it does. Things that have been are the things that shall be. What we've got now coming is a World War III. And it's going to bring the next new world order, which the Bible tells us is the dragon. Seven-headed, ten-horned dragon of Revelation chapter 12. And it's followed, of course, by the beast, seven heads and ten horns of Revelation 13. 3.5 years for the dragon, 3.5 years for the beast. They are two stages of a revived Roman Empire. Okay. Well, I'm going to read on with Randy's dream here. He said, I went outside and I broke them up. In other words, the warfare between the blackbird and the hawk, between the Muslim fundamentalists and America. I went outside, I broke them up. I asked the hawk if he was okay or did he need me to pray for him. He told me he was dying. He was dying. The blackbird was lying on the ground and hardly moving. In other words, both were in bad shape. I believe Islam will take a very strong hit from America, and I believe it's going to include nuclear weapons. I believe a frightened world peace movement will break up this fight and bring in the New World Order. Again, I'm talking about the dragon of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I'm convinced that that the Lord is forcing this issue for the sake of his people. I know a lot of people only see the mistakes and foolishness of America, the mistakes and foolishness of the Muslims, but God is working all things at the counsel of his own will. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 25 that God is the one that is doing this. And he tells us that in Jeremiah 51. He tells us that in many other places that Babylon is his servant to conquer the nations and to bring his people into bondage. Why? Well, because God's people have been lukewarm, gone astray from him, need to go to their cross. Basically, God is repeating history by raising up a one world order to bring his people to their cross, just like he has 6 major times before. We're coming to the 7th and the 8th kingdom, according to Revelation 17, the 7th being the dragon and the 8th being the beast. And history's going to repeat. God's people have never yet escaped a beast kingdom. They're not going to escape it this time. God is doing this. God is using the Russians and the Chinese to bring America down even before America brings the church down. They won't ultimately bring America down until after America's brought the church down. We're going to see that. We're going to look at this more particularly in the weeks to come here. Well, then Randy said, I looked up in the sky and I saw a white horse. Notice this, after breaking up this warfare, which I believe brings the New World Order, he looked up in the sky and he saw a white horse, a red horse, and a black horse. That's interesting. That's the exact sequence of events that Revelation chapter 6 talks about. That is the white horse talking about the coming of the man-child ministry, first fruits of those who walk in the image of Jesus Christ, the red horse of war, the black horse of famine. The only one he left off was the pale horse. That would have been the 4th one there. And he said he saw a few other horses whose colors he could not recognize, and they were all riding around in a giant circle. Well, a circle means a cycle or repetition, you know. I think a lot of people believe, I came to this revelation not too long ago, a lot of people believe that these judgments are going to be very neat, one and then the other and then the other. But I came to this revelation that they're not all that neat. Once they're poured out, they continue to happen. Not all over the world at one time, but in a cycle. In other words, there's going to be the white horse rider's judgment, like Jesus brought forth judgment in his day. Moses brought forth judgment in his day. Moses spoke the judgments that fell upon Egypt in order to deliver God's people from Egypt. He was the white horse rider in his day, and he led the red horse and the black horse in his day. You understand? Well, that's exactly what the man-child is going to do. Notice the white horse leads the red horse and the black horse and the pale horse of death. So after the tribulation starts, these judgments are loosed in Revelation 6, and they just continue to ravage the world like a giant circle. Then Randy says, I ran back into the house to tell the people who were there what had happened. And I yelled, oh, my Jesus. You got to come see this. And we all went outside and looked up into the sky, and I looked up and I saw another white horse with a rider on its back. I guess you can figure out who that is, right? The Lord Jesus. It was descending out of the sky, the white horse was, descending out of the sky as it appeared. Behind it was a bright light, brighter than the sun. As it continued to descend, I woke up. And, of course, the Bible says that every eye shall see the coming of Jesus and his white horse and the end of the tribulation period. So what we're seeing here is the that Randy's Dream covers this strike on America, the retaliation, the war ensuing, the breaking up, the New World Order, the beginning of the New World Order being the White Horse, the Red Horse, then the Black Horse, and so on, and the coming of the Lord. The whole story's there. Pretty neat, I think. At any rate, folks, I believe that behind the scenes right now, the Russians and the Chinese are preparing to covertly use militant Islam to fight against the United States again, to destroy the economy, to bring America down. And they're just going to basically sit back and watch America fight it out, weakening itself against the Middle East until the time is right. And the Bible tells us very plainly that that the bear will conquer the eagle, because history does repeat. And the greater story behind all of this, folks, is God's doing it all for us. He's working on all things together for our good. But one thing he's going to restore to his people first is the fear of the Lord. God's people don't fear his word. They don't tremble at his word. They don't fear what it says. They're more in idolatry with religions and men than they are humbling themselves to the word of God, which is Christ himself. There's a great falling away, spiritually speaking, that we're climbing up out of in these coming days, you know. Great dark ages that the church is coming up out of. And God is preparing the crop. He's preparing the sun. He's preparing the tribulation that's going to bring this crop to fruition. He's going to restore the fear of the Lord. He's going to restore the great knowledge of the Word of God. He's going to restore the White Horse Rider is actually the man-child ministry, which is coming to repeat Jesus' ministry, except on a worldwide basis. History just repeats. The Lord Jesus said that he was going to come as the latter rain on the morning of the third day. Notice he said as the latter rain. He wasn't talking about coming in the clouds. He's talking about coming as a revival, as the latter rain. Jesus himself came as the former rain, and he poured out, he breathed on his disciples, and he poured out the former rain on them. And now, once again, this is coming. It's coming not in a time of peace and prosperity, but a time of war and tribulation. And God is going to be designing the atmosphere around his people for a maximum benefit of revival and the manifestation of Christ in his people. The Lord is bringing his people into tribulation, which they've always grown in tribulation, never in peace and prosperity. God's people have turned away from him in peace and prosperity. So once again, this is a cycle. You go through the Old Testament, you see this cycle. Israel went through it many times, you know, major and lesser times, you know. Six major times they went through this cycle of rebellion, God bringing them into tribulation, then they come to repentance, then they respect his word again, and then when they come into peace and prosperity because of that, they once again take God for granted, and they fall away, they begin worshiping the prosperity, and God has to start the cycle all over again. Basically, he'd done that six times up until the time of Jesus, major times, many lesser times, up until the time of Jesus. And now, God's people are worldwide spiritual Israel, who once again need a beast kingdom to bring them into this tribulation, persecution, crucifixion. So God once again is raising up a worldwide beast for a worldwide spiritual Israel. And his work will not fail this time. This is the final tribulation. It's the final revival. It's the final outpouring of his Holy Spirit. A great and mighty move that's going to shake the earth and restore the fear of the Lord to his people. God bless you, brethren. Thank you for joining us.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. My Lord Jesus.